Well, good evening. I'm glad everyone's here. As Richard said, I'm Steve Collier. I'm an elder here, and I'm actually not going to be teaching this class by myself tonight. Mike Rowell is going to—I'm going to teach half of it, and he's going to teach half of it. But I failed to tell Richard that, so he didn't announce that. We're going to team teach every week. There'll be two teachers every week in the class. When the teens come up, John Becker, our youth minister, will be one of the people speaking. And when the teens aren't here, it will always be two fathers of teens who have made Jesus Lord and are committed to Jesus. So that's partly how we selected our teachers. We are the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett, as most of you know, and we rent this building from the Church of the Nazarene, and we're grateful they let us use it. This series will run 8 weeks. Oh, I left the extra announcements in there. Could you sneak in and get them? And we actually still have some more of these announcements. I don't know if some of y'all have seen them, some of y'all might not have. So we have some more of these if you like, but it has the whole schedule on there with the topics. If you don't know how we usually run things here, the last Thursday of every month we do something out of the ordinary. So the class will not meet on the last Thursday of every month, but it will otherwise meet every Thursday between now and April 21st. And folks are welcome to come to all or any of them, unless you're a member here, in which case you're required to come to all of them. Okay, let's see. Parenting teenagers is a difficult and challenging task. Mm-hmm. You say, Steve, we already knew that. But watching our children begin to make adult decisions can be a source of tremendous joy, mm-hmm. a source of tremendous anxiety, or a source of tremendous heartache, depending on what they choose. And sometimes it can alternate, depending on whether it's Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. We all need help with this tremendous task, and that's why we plan this class and design this class, to help each other. You know, I appreciate your willingness to come to this class. We believe the Bible has the answers. So here they are, and we'll leave them up here on the table. We believe the Bible has the answers, and so we will mostly be looking at the Bible and then sharing some personal examples from our own life, maybe some things we've learned. Our topic tonight, as Richard said, is Parenting 101, The Importance of a Spiritual Family. And I'm going to start with a bold statement. What if I told you that I knew the secret, that I knew the key to being a successful parent? What would you say? Tell us. Yeah, I thought you might say that. If you have a Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, let me ask a trivia question. What did Jesus say was the greatest commandment? Very good. Y'all could beat Watson on Jeopardy with that. Except that he presses the button faster. Anyway, so he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says that's the greatest commandment. That's Matthew 22:37. Okay, did Jesus come up with that? Was he the first one to say that?
No.
No. Jesus was quoting the Old Testament. He was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which you've already turned to. And the interesting part for our class tonight is that Deuteronomy 6 is, in part, a passage on parenting. Hey, Jesus, when he quoted the greatest commandment, he was quoting in context from a passage on parenting, or that's substantially about parenting. So the greatest commandment was given first and foremost to parents. So that's why we're going to start there tonight. Now, as we read this passage, I want you to ask yourself a question. Ask yourself a question. And think about this. I'm going to repeat this throughout the lesson tonight, or my half of the lesson. How spiritual do you want to be? How spiritual do you want to be? How godly, how close to God do you want to be? Do you want that a lot? If we're real honest, do we want just enough of that to get by? You know, just enough of that maybe to make it to heaven, not to screw up, but we're not sure we really want to, go all the way there. And I say that not to challenge anybody or make anybody feel guilty, but I really want us to think about that as we start these series of lessons tonight, which is how spiritual do we want to be? How close to God do we want to be? Because really, it's up to us. Mm-hmm. We can be as close to God as we want to be.
Amen.
We can. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things get in the way and that sort of thing, but we can be as close to God as we want to be. And so I really want the question to be sort of inspiring, not necessarily, oh no, but wow, I can.
Amen.
I can. Can I get somebody to read for me? Deuteronomy. Danny, could you read that? Could you read that real loud?
Sure.
1 through 13.
These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. 1-3. 13. Wow. Okay. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then you will eat and you are satisfied. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve only him, and take your oaths in his name.
Amen.
Okay, amen. Thank you. Now Moses gave these instructions to the children of Israel as they were about to enter the promised land. That's what Deuteronomy is. It's a whole sermon by Moses just before they're entering the promised land. And he says, the promised land is a land flowing with milk and honey, with cities that they're going to take over and houses and gardens and all this stuff that they're going to just be blessed with by God. We live in the promised land.
Amen.
America is very much like that. Gwinnett County is a great place to live. We have houses, we have milk and honey in our refrigerator. And you can just, you don't have to drive very far before you run into a grocery store. Buy more. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. I know we've been through the Great Recession and, times have been tough and that sort of thing. But compared to most of the world, we enjoy tremendous prosperity. And so really, we're in the same situation that Moses is talking to them about, preparing them for. Okay, they weren't actually there yet. They were still in the wilderness, but they were about to taste that. Mm-hmm. And he says, he warns them that these things can cause you, as he says in verse 12, to forget the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
To forget God. And it's easy, I think, we don't necessarily do that on purpose, but it's easy when we have all these things to forget the Lord. Sort of get wrapped up in the material things that we have and taking care of them and paying for them, and fixing them when they break and, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we can forget the Lord. We get focused on our jobs and we need to go to work. We need to do that, especially if we have a job after all this. We need to pay the bills. We need to, cook the meals and do the laundry and all that stuff. But he's saying here, you can't forget the greatest commandment.
Amen.
You know, Jesus had a thousand pages of the Old Testament to pull from. And this is what he pulled for the greatest commandment. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. That's what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. And that's what Moses is telling people here to focus on, you know, as the antidote to the distractions of prosperity. You know, and I think this is, you know, I said before, what's the secret to being a successful parent? I think this is it.
Amen.
You know, this is it. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Amen.
That's the secret. How spiritual do you want to be? How close to God do you want to be? How much do you want the love of God to be, you know, the thing that permeates your life, that's most true about you? That's the key. That's the secret, I believe, to being a successful parent. You know, when we think about our kids, these same things can happen. Even when we're thinking about their well-being, sometimes what we're thinking about is their financial well-being. You know, and that's okay. But a lot of times that's what we're focused on when we're thinking about their education. You know, helping them make good grades in school, helping them graduate, choose a good college. And we're going to talk about some of that in our class over the next few weeks. But a lot of times that's what we're focused on. Their activities, whatever it is, if it's music or it's sports, or whatever they're involved in, we're thinking about things that can help them, you know, earn a living or find, you know, what they enjoy doing in life. You know, and that's all good. But again, Moses is warning us here. Don't focus on that and forget the Lord. You know, don't get wrapped up in that stuff and forget the most important thing. The thing that will help you the most, you know, with your children, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Amen.
You know, that's the most important thing. Jesus said it was.
That's right. Yep.
You know, and Moses is here emphasizing it. That's the most important thing. God must be at the center of our life.
Amen.
You know, he's got to be the thing that we are most focused on.
That's right.
You know, Moses here also calls it fearing the Lord. You know, and in America, we don't use that phrase as much anymore. But it's the notion of respecting God. You know, the notion of acknowledging that he's more important than any of these other priorities we have in our life. And they're important too. You know, we got to pay the bills. But fearing the Lord, recognizing that he's the one, you know, he's the most important one that we should have in terms of priorities. You know, treating him with the appropriate respect, the appropriate devotion. You know, how's that going? You know, we each have to evaluate that. How's that going in my life? My personal faith.
Amen.
My personal love for God. You know, when I was growing up, love for God was a weird thing. I mean, that was like that was the kind of thing like the Jesus freaks would say at the commune. What does that mean? You know, but you know, Moses kind of describes it here. Part of loving God is just obeying his commandments. You know, living our life the way he wants us to live, and then trying to be close to God. You know, how much time do you spend praying, reading the Bible? You know, really trying to get close to God. You know, how much time do you spend doing that? To me, that's you know, if you come to a class on parenting, you might think, well, that's not what I expected to hear. But to me, that's the most important thing.
Amen.
And that's what, you know, that's the most important thing is how close are we to God?
Amen.
You know, that's what makes us a good parent. If we're close to God, we're praying to him, we're trying to obey his commands, we have him involved in our lives, that's what's going to make us a better parent.
Right.
Better able to handle the challenges that our children issues raise in their lives. We're going to be a better able to deal with them, able to treat them the right way or help them with wisdom. All of those things. The closer we are to God, the better parent we can be.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I Barbara and I set aside, we both set aside significant time every day to pray and read the Bible. And we've done that for years. I mean, as long as I've known her, that's what she's done. And she says the same about me. I mean, it's like, we just do that all the time.
Amen.
And I, you know, and I'm not saying we're perfect or anything, but that's the priority, you know, in our lives. And I think that's what's helped us. You know, each of our children have made a decision, you know, to make Jesus Lord and follow Jesus.
Amen.
And I think the most important thing, the most important thing in influencing them to do that was that they saw our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they saw that in us. And it was, and it, you know, and so that's, to me, that's the most important thing. You know, we are going to talk about other things in the parenting class over the next few weeks. But your own relationship with God, that's the key.
That's right.
That's the key.
Amen.
How spiritual do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how close to God do you want to be? How godly and righteous a person do you want to be? That's what will determine how successful you can be as a parent.
Amen.
And how much you can help your children. It really enables us to help them better.
Amen.
So back in January, I went to one of our teen devotionals. Those of you who know our church, we have about 50 teenagers or so, and they're all downstairs right now, about half of whom have made that decision to follow Jesus and be committed to Jesus, and about half haven't. But I was at this devotional, and John, our youth minister, asked them what their dreams were. You know, and they went around the room, and they talked about different things. And several of them said that their dream was that their parents would be more godly.
Wow.
Now, it was just a few of them. I mean, you know, I'm not saying... they all thought we were ungodly, okay. But several of them, that was their dream, okay?
Wow.
That was their wish, sort of their desire, their prayer, was that their parents would be more godly. You know, our love for God has to be real. You know, it's not something you can fake.
That's right.
You know, it's not something that, you know, they can tell, and especially now they're teenagers.
That's right.
You know, they can tell. They know if it's real. And I think this particular generation, I mean, you know, this generation is very much into authenticity.
Yes.
You know, they want things
yes.
that are real. They don't like fake.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like, you know, they want things that are real. And, you know, you can't say, do as I say, not as I do. You know, you can't do that in this arena, or I don't know, any arena, I guess. But, you know, they know if our faith is real. We have to draw near to God. You know, that's our best hope. But to help them, to be the kind of people that can help them. But it's also what we need to be an example to them.
Yes.
For them to come to faith, you know, it the most helpful thing is for them to see real faith in their parents.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the most helpful thing. Now, people can come to faith without that, but that's the most helpful thing is for them to see real faith in their parents. And if they actually see parents who are sort of nominally religious, but their faith isn't real, I think that's actually an obstacle. That might make it harder for them to
right.
come to faith.
Absolutely.
And so I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But, you know, and ask your teenagers what they think.
Come
you know,
on.
I mean, find a good opportunity where it's not kind of a threatening question or something and where they're not just shut down and unwilling to talk. Find some good opportunity and then ask them, you know, what, tell me honestly, what's the most important thing in my life? What do you think? What's my number one priority? And see what they say. You know, maybe they'll say God, amen. But, you know, if they say something else, you got something to work on, right?
Amen.
You got something
amen.
To consider. Well, why do you say that? You know, what makes you think that? You know, and, I mean, that would be a good place to start. And, of course, if they say God, that's great. You can ask, just ask why, too, and you can see what it is that you're doing that has a good effect on them. That sets that example, that lets them know that, that communicates that. That's a good thing to know, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're not, if I'm talking tonight and you're saying you're feeling I'm not close to God, you know, well, just get some help with that.
Mm-hmm.
Get some help. That's one thing we emphasize here in our church is trying to help people get close
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
That's something we try to do. We want to help each other with that. And we can help with that. You know, it's never too late to start.
That's right.
It's never too late to start. You know, if you have teenagers in high school, you know, it is the ninth inning in terms of your parenting. But ball games are won in the ninth inning.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, some of them are even won in extra innings. So, you know, the game might go longer than that. So, you know, but, you know, don't when I ask the question, how spiritual do you want to be? I don't want anyone to be feeling guilty, like, oh, I've been a bad parent the past 20 years, or 18, 17, however old your child is. You know, No, right now, how spiritual do you
want
to
be? Amen. Come on.
Right now, starting
Amen.
Now, as Kramer said. Now, you know, starting now. You know, how spiritual do you want to be? And you know, if the situation hasn't been that great, it can turn around.
Right.
It can turn around rapidly. And your children can go, whoa, what happened to you? You're different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, you might be planting the seeds for a little bit into the future. You know, you might not see a radical transformation in them right away, but you'll be in a much better place to help them to plant those seeds, you know, like the prodigal son, to give them a place to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
If they get out in the world and they're not following Jesus, but they oh my gosh, mom and dad are spiritual people. And someday when they realize that's what they need too, they may come back. I mean, it might be that's the seed you're planting. Like, it's not going to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to have that long-range view too.
Right.
But again, this is the key thing. And I'm going to wrap it up and then let Mike talk for a while. Alan told me he was going to go for an hour in there, so we're not any other time pressure. But we won't go that long. But back in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 and 8, I'm sorry, it's, yes, verse 7 and 8, he says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, frontlets for your eyes," whatever that is. "Write them on the doorposts of your house and your gate." He's talking about the commands of God. You know, the commands of God. He's saying they have to permeate your life. You know, we have to teach this to our children. I've mostly been talking about us. You know, we got to love God. How spiritual do we want to be? But then it's something we need to teach to our children. You know, we need to impress on them. And if they're spiritual right now, you know, don't neglect that opportunity.
That's right.
Use the fact that they're open and responding to it to teach them more. Teach them more. If they're not, it's a little more challenging, but you can still reason with them. You can still show them things from the Scriptures. You know, studies show that teenagers want guidance and input from their parents.
That's right.
That's what studies show. Teenagers, that's what they always say when they're asked. Now, they don't tell you that. They don't act like that sometimes. But inside, you know, if you're 60, remember, when you were 16 and 17 years old and you're facing the decision of what to do at this party or what to do at that when your friend's after a ball game, you know, it's scary to be making some of those choices on your own.
That's
and
right.
It's a lot scarier now than when I was 16.
Right.
You know, so they kind of want that input from their parents, even if they may not want to acknowledge it to you. And so, you know, teach them the things. And, it says when you sit down, when you eat, when you walk, you know, walk along the way, you know, that's driving in the car, you know, use all the opportunities. You know, it doesn't have to be some, you know, scheduled event. You know, you can be sharing scriptures with them.
Amen.
You know, you know, when you go to bed, when you get up, you know, it's all day long kind of stuff. And that's what it's got to be in our life. Again, this kiss can't be faked. This has to be real.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It already has to be that way in your life, in your marriage, you know, in your other relationships. You know, do you teach your teens, you know, Bible principles about specific issues?
Wow.
We're going to talk about some of them. Barb and I try to use scriptures with our kids that are relevant to the issues in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of my children was having a serious conflict with someone at school to the point where you could call this person their enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, well, let's pray for our enemies. Have you prayed for your enemy? No. Well, let's do it. And so we prayed for this other person. You know, that was just, you know, I used to buy, I don't know, I pray for my enemies as often as I should, but I, you know, that occurred to me, and so we did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what should dating be like? What should dating be like? You know, you can teach biblical principles on that. We're going to have a class on that. And that's not going to be one we invite the kids to. They're going to get separate teaching on that. We're going to talk about our convictions and then how we can communicate them to our children.
Amen.
You know, and our children should know, even if they maybe don't like it right now, what are the biblical guidelines for relationships with the opposite sex? I mean, it's good for them to know that.
Amen.
It's good for them to know that and some of the reasons why.
Amen.
Who you should hang out with, who your friends should be. Yeah, we're going to have a class on that, and that's a class we are going to bring the teens in.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about it together. Who should your friends be?
Yep.
You know, maybe it's kind of late in the game. Again, if they're in high school, those are probably set, but they can start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to be thinking about it as they get to college and they, you know, you're not around anymore to see who their friends are. you know, who are their friends? We're going to have a class on that. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals.
Right.
You know, that's the effect of who you hang around with. So, you know, these are the kind of things we need to be, you know, teaching our children who are soon to be not children but adults. You know, we need to be teaching them these things so they will have them.
Amen.
Well, I hope this has been helpful. I hope the greatest commandment encourages us all to be more spiritual, to be as spiritual as we can be.
Amen.
Because that's the key to everything else we're going to talk about over the next few weeks in terms of helping our teenage children. And now I'm going to turn it over to Mike Rao. Mike is a great guy. Mike has just, he and his wife Chloe, amen, y'all can clap, just agreed to take over responsibility for leading our teen parent group. So we're excited about that. They have two children. Younger children who are both decided to follow Jesus in the past couple of years, so that's awesome too. Mm-hmm. And now we get to hear from Mike.
Amen.
Mike.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve, Bishop. As Steve was saying, you know, all the things that Steve was saying, you know, I most definitely agree with 100%. Like Steve said, my name is Mike Rao. That's my beautiful wife of 17 years. We just had an anniversary last weekend. So that was a great weekend. But I totally agree with what Steve is saying. And if you would, turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 31. When Chloe and I were asked to be the shepherding couple over the teen ministry, we were both humbled and honored. And, you know, we thought about it, and that last shepherding couple, that's going to be a tough act to follow. So we're most definitely humbled to be asked to help with the teens. We have, Steve said, we have three children. We have our oldest daughter. Her name is Tess. She was only 4 years old when I met my wife 25 years ago, and she was 12 years old when my wife and I got married. So she was about to enter that teen years, and we had just became disciples. But the example and the background that she had seen from us was partying, drugging, just foulness. A lot of ugliness. She's seen it all. So just trying to get her to kind of see what God had done was just going to be a remarkable task that we were going to have. We have Abram, who's 16, and Rachel, who is 15, and we have a 5-year-old grandson. And we just pray that, you know, we can all learn something from this parenting class. Amen.
Amen.
I totally agree, like I said, with what Steve was saying as far as just you have to love God. God has to be number one. You know, there's an order for things. You know, it's God, then your wife, and then your children.
That's right.
And as long as you focus on those three things, God will do the rest.
Amen.
Brother, I had lunch with a brother this week, and he said, hey, the best thing you can do for the church is love God, love your wife, and love your children.
Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, I look up to this brother, and I am so grateful to have brothers like that in my life. God is a God of second chances. We have a second chance with our two youngest, Abram and Rachel, because we did a lot of things wrong with our oldest. But like I said, God is a God of second chances. We made so many mistakes, but we're determined to learn from those mistakes.
Amen.
And move forward to bring glory to God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, very simple. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Amen.
See, we decided early on when we were dating in the church that if it did not glorify God, then we're not going to do it. That's just bottom line. It has to glorify God. You know, you have to ask yourself one question before you do anything. Before you get married. Before you take that job. Before you have children. How will this glorify God?
Amen.
How will this glorify God? And then you have to honestly answer that. Whether you need to bring your spouse in to get that answer, but you need to really be honest with yourself so that you can make the right decision. Amen?
Amen.
And when you do that, you can save yourself a lot of headaches and heartaches. Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15 reads, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers serve beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
And as Steve said, you know, we have to love God, but you have to make a declaration for your household as well.
Yes.
For your entire household.
Right.
My household is going to serve the Lord. And that could mean something different for a lot of us. That may mean, hey, listen, we are going to consistently sit down and have dinner together. Mm-hmm. Just something as simple as that. Or, hey, listen, we're going to get up every Sunday morning and be on time for church. Amen?
Amen.
See, as a Christian family, we have to serve the Lord. We have to use our families as an outreach.
That's right.
See, people are more willing to come to your home and have dinner with you than to come out to church with you for the first time.
Right.
And they have to see God in your house.
That's right.
They have to see God in your parenting, in the way that your children interact with one another.
Amen.
In the way that your children respect you, in the way that your spouse respects you.
Amen.
People have to see that. Get your family together and decide what serving the Lord means to you right now.
Amen.
You know, God has given us the ability to choose is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can be taken away from you.
That's right.
See, God has given us the ability to say, you know what? Jesus is Lord. I'm here. I'm at church. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my children. We have choices. To get up to go to work or not, to have things that's going to help us to take care of our families. We have all these choices, but those things can be taken away. Amen?
Amen.
Psalms 133. I'm just going through a few scriptures here. Steve talked about really loving God, and that is the most important thing that you can do as a parent. But my conviction is the second most important thing that you could do is be unified as parents.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's
right. Psalms 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. And I'm going to read just another scripture. You can write this one down. Chapter 4, verse 1. And what it says is, "As prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. And I feel like unity has really helped my wife and I just move forward with our parenting. Because there were times where my son would come up and say something to my wife, and I would be totally clueless to what's going on, and I'd be calling the crossfire like, what just happened? What's going on? So unity has to be important.
Amen.
You know, and it should have been something that started when they were first born. Our kids should not be able to divide us.
Right.
To get in there and, you know, deal with the individual that is the softest in the family. And if that's you, Mom, you know, think about it. Make sure the dad is involved with what's going on so that, you know, he won't feel like decisions are being made in the house and he's totally clueless to it. That is not a good feeling.
That's right.
Now, it is absolutely vital with teenagers because they're so smart. Our teenagers are really, really, really smart. They're smarter than some of us think they are. We have to be unified on a lot of different things. You have to be unified on, you know, getting that homework done, getting those chores done, discipline in the house, activities. There has to be a unified front as far as the parents are concerned. You know, my wife, she is such an incredible wife.
Amen.
I love her so much. She has helped me to become a better parent, a better man, because she allows me, through her submissiveness, and I know that word is, it's kind of woo, she will not make any decisions about our household or anything like that without coming to me and talking to me and us being totally unified on what's going on in the house. A man's responsibility is to train and teach our children. The Bible didn't say it was the wife's responsibility.
Right.
It's our responsibility. And see, when we're unified, you know, and the kids see that, they know, hey, listen, I really need to be mindful of who I approach, and I need to go ahead and approach both of them, and if I get no, then I know I can't go to Mom and say, well, Mom, please. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Another thing as far as being unified and being great parents, you know, my wife and I never try to correct one another in front of the kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a no-no.
Yeah.
That's a no-no. I will not correct my wife in front of my children. If I have something to say to my wife, I will say it after we've gotten away from the children. Because they need to see us being unified. Now, do we slip up? Absolutely. We're going to slip up.
Yeah.
But the goal is to be unified. And when we do it in a godly manner, you know, as parents, we're a unified front. You know, I have to take Chloe's thoughts into consideration to make her feel loved. And she respects me by listening to me when I have something to say. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Now, when my kids come to my wife, she always sends them to me. Go ask Dad. Come talk to Dad. You know, whether it's, oh, I got a party I want to go to, I want to stay after school, whatever it is, you know, they'll come and ask me. We'll get together. We'll talk about it. We'll agree on it. And the decision is made. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, You have to keep in mind who is the one that the kids most likely will come to. So be mindful of that and make sure whoever that is, whether it's mom or dad, that you're unified with your spouse.
Amen.
And there's single moms in here. You know, God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Mm-hmm. You know, your decision is the final decision in the house. God has put you in an incredible church with a lot of wise men and women that can help guide you and teach you how to train your children. Amen?
Amen.
Unity is the key to having a spiritual family. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a website as far as the youth and family ministry of our church. They're having a huge conference this coming April, and we have our Bishop Steve and our team leader John and Marissa Bell. They're all going out to that conference, and they're going to bring back a wealth of information.
Amen.
To help us. So be praying for them, because truly God has something incredible in store for us.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start in verse 10. This is Paul's charge to basically his young son in the faith, Timothy. It says, "You, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecution I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Since while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. This is a great passage.
Amen.
And that youth ministry, the title of that thing is, you have to live it to give it. It's not taught, it's caught.
Yeah.
Because as Steve said, you know, our teens, they can see a fake a mile away. And if you're not doing it at home, and you're coming to church trying to do it,
come on,
trust
man.
Me, they're talking to John and Marissa Bell about that. They're talking to the other teens about that.
Yeah.
They see it. We have an incredible teen ministry here.
Right.
Amen.
God has blessed this teen ministry.
Amen.
John and Marissa Bell have worked very hard to encourage our kids to love God. Mm-hmm. And if you as a parent, if you hadn't just told them that lately, I want to really encourage you to just to give them a, you know, show them
Amen.
Some love and encourage those guys, because that task is not easy.
That's right.
That's not easy. Every Tuesday, there's 30, 40 teens in their basement.
Wow.
And they're doing it week after week after week.
Oh,
they see so much. They hear so much.
Yeah.
They want to give us feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be receptive
yes.
to that
Amen.
Feedback.
Yes. Amen.
Let's not just push that off.
Mm-hmm.
Because they love God. They love our children.
That's right.
And they want to help us. Amen?
Amen.
John and Marissa Bell, they do a great job, but they're not responsible
nope.
for converting our children.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Mike.
They're not.
Come on.
That's our responsibility as parents. You know, Paul told Timothy to put into practice what you have seen in me. That right there is like, whoa.
Wow.
You know, put into practice what you have seen in me. Can we say that to our children? Strong biblical parenting can overcome anything in the world. Our kids face so much on a daily basis. At school, everywhere. You got the internet. You have it all. Our kids are just bombarded with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And us as parents, we have to give them and lay the right foundation to help them to overcome this world. Because Jesus said, we will overcome this world.
That's right.
Amen.
It is very hard for a great teen ministry to overcome weak parenting.
Come on, Mike.
Amen.
That just can't happen. If there's weak parenting going on in this ministry and we have this great teen ministry, we're beating ourselves up. We're not really helping to make John and Marissa Bell's work a joy.
Come on,
we're making it a burden.
Yep.
By just sending them off every Tuesday, every Thursday, every Sunday, here we go, you know, and they're not getting what they need at home.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Come on, Mike.
Amen.
Come on.
We cannot underestimate the power of our example. You cannot. You cannot take that lightly. You know, and I just want to give a few things that they need to see modeled in us for them to be able to do what we're doing. Being humble. That's a big one for me. And I'm talking about being humble before God, being humble before my wife, being humble before my children. Talking about when I mess up. I made a mistake. Please forgive me.
Come on, Mike.
Being open. You know, a lot of our children have become disciples. If we're not open in here, guess what? There's not a chance our kids are going to be open.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to keep a lot of stuff inside that's going to eventually come out. And it's not going to come out in the right way.
Come on, Mike.
As Steve said, we got to be close to God.
Yep.
They have to see that.
Right.
Yep.
They have to see us being close to God, reading our Bibles and praying.
Mm.
Repenting. Just changing. Not doing the things that you know is not right.
Mm-hmm.
They have to see the heart to repent. Serving.
Come on, Mike.
Serving at home. That's where it has to start. It has to start at home.
Yeah, that's right.
And you have to see it at church as well.
Yeah.
Your children have to see that in order for them to want to model that.
That's right. Come on.
I have a letter my daughter wrote for me when she was in the fifth grade. Well, she wrote it for us. And it's titled, My Heroes. It says, my heroes are my parents. My parents are my heroes because they go above and beyond the call of duty as parents in so many different ways. One example of them going above and beyond the call of duty is the way they support me in softball. They are usually at every game, rain or shine, cheering me on.
Mm-hmm.
A second example is the way my parents always make sure that they spend one-on-one time with me. Whether it's picking out stylish outfits or going television shopping with my dad. Lastly, the most important reason that my parents are my heroes is that they inspire me and encourage me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ every day with their dedication.
Amen.
They are my saints, my guardian angels, my gift from above. My heroes are my parents, whom I love very much.
Amen.
That is what I live for. I live for stuff like that.
Amen.
I want to close by leaving you just a few practical things that Chloe and I have done over the years to just kind of focus on the family. You know, we take our kids, when we go volunteer, we take the whole family. We go volunteer in the kitchen, whether we're picking up trash, whether we're going to a homeless shelter to help, you know, single moms, we take the entire family to do that. We've been disciples 18 years. We've always kept spiritual people around our family. That was very important, having spiritual people around our family. We make church attendance a priority.
Amen.
That's just going to happen in the Rouse house,
yes.
As far as me and my family.
Amen.
You know, as a family, over the years, we have shared about our victories as far as things that we put on our prayer list, and we started praying about it. And then when God allows it to happen, we share in that victory together.
Amen.
But we pray consistently about that as a family, and we share about that. We pray with our kids every single day before they go to school. Every single day.
Amen.
We pray with our kids on the way to church. You know, that has helped us to really just bond and be close together as a family. We have dinner together as often as possible. And I want to stress that.
Yeah.
Because that's an opportunity to really hear from your children.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you sit down and you get a meal, people just start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And things start coming out. It's a wonderful opportunity to make that a priority. And I know life is so busy. You know, our jobs are we're all over the place sometimes, but I think prioritizing and making family dinners important is the key.
Amen.
And I said this before, being the first one to say I'm sorry when you sinned against another family member. Fulfilling your promises that you make to your children. Just don't let stuff come out your mouth that you know, okay, I know I'm not going to be able to do this. Because that hurts their spirit. And they want to be able to trust you. We always share what we're learning in the Bible with our kids. What we're learning from other couples. You know, we share what we're learning from Barb and Steve. So we want them to be able to mimic that with their friends. We get our kids to teen activities no matter what the cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, hey, you know, I made a lot of sacrifices over the years, but now my eyes are open to how important it is for my children to be totally engaged in the church activities. Amen.
Amen.
And I think the last one I'm going to share is just really having close relationships in the church. See, Abe and Rachel, you know, we came over here from a different ministry. We've only been over here a year or so now, and it's been challenging. But Chloe and I have come over here, and we've really been fighting to have incredible relationships over here. You know, fighting to get into people's homes and having people into our homes so that they can see and say, well, wow, you know, my parents really love the people in the church. Mm-hmm. And now we're starting to see them do that. They're wanting to go over to the other teens' houses and spend some time. You know, people need to see the family working together to bring glory to God.
Amen.
Have a vision for your family. Make a declaration that, you know, as far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, we have, like I said, a wealth of brothers and sisters in here that can help. We can all pray. We're looking to in a few months, really just have a prayer time for the parents. So be on the lookout for that as well.
Amen.
And to God be the glory. Amen.
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 Amen.